27. Of course, always ushers, if you see somewhere, then just feel free to go ask them if need be ever. So Matthew 27. And verse 57, Matthew 27, verse 57. We're not going to look up a lot of verses this morning. But Matthew 27:57 this morning. Give you a moment to find that. We're glad you're here today. This is Easter Sunday. And I think it's great time to recognize the Lord, but I think every Sunday is a great time to recognize the Lord, and I don't think that makes any of the other Sundays any less, to be honest with you. But I don't have a problem with Easter. I understand it's made religious by many people, but praise the Lord, we got to recognize Jesus all the time, amen. And if they want to have a special day where everybody's doing it, I don't have no problem with that, we'll do it too, amen, because I think it's important to remember Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We had the Lord's Supper on Wednesday night. That went well. And always enjoy having the Lord's Supper. All right, Matthew 27:57. If you have that, if you'd stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 27 and verses 57 through 61, I want to read this morning. Then we'll pray and let you be seated and we'll get started. But Matthew chapter 27. Verse 57 says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Verse 58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Amen. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And we'll stop right there. I want to read that verse again. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And this morning I want to talk to you about that very subject, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Let's pray and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you this morning, Lord, that you would come now and meet with us in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would use me in the insufficiency of myself, in the frailty of myself, and use a sinful man now to preach your word. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And I pray for these that listen, Father God, also sinful people as all are. But I pray that you would fill them with your sweet Holy Spirit to be Spirit-filled listeners this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 61 again, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now this morning I want to draw our attention to the story that I think is within a story here. Of course, the main story here is what some would call the Easter story, I guess, if you want to call it that, and that's fine. But basically, the horrific death of our Savior, and of course, His marvelous resurrection. And I think so many things can be drawn from that. The death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the gospel that's given out because of that having happened. And, I mean, so many things there graciously that the Lord can give to us from that. And, of course, we could have no salvation without that and without Christ as our Savior personally in our hearts. But I think there's so many things that we can also draw from surrounding the story. And that's what I'm going to do this morning, is I'm going to draw some things from surrounding this story that I think's a story within it. Within a story here, our text shows at the end of it two Marys here, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the one whom they loved more than the rest of the world has just been taken from them. Who's that? Jesus, of course. He was their pastor. He was their Savior. He was the one they called Lord. He was the one they called Rabboni. He was the one that meant everything to them at this point in time in their life. And they were so wrapped up in him. And all of a sudden, he's violently taken away from them for seemingly no cause and no reason. But they're in a tailspin, as the rest of the disciples and others that followed him were. Because here he is. He's been taken. It was he who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." But wait a minute, now he's buried in a sepulcher. He who had promised to be with him forever, now seems as though that's not true and he's been taken away from them. Put yourself in their shoes, not having the entire Bible like we have to look at. That's got to be how it feels. It's the darkest hour of their lives. The darkest hour for Mary of Magdalene and the other Mary. They sat over against the sepulchre, as the Bible says. Here they are. Everybody else is gone. Peter's gone. John is gone. The rest of the 12 are gone. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is gone. The mother of Zebedee's children, no doubt gone. But here they are, these two Marys. These two Marys are here. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. What are they doing? They're sitting. Where are they sitting? Over against the sepulcher. Now what did they see? What was going to be going on while they sat there against that sepulcher in that area there? If I could just capture your imagination for a moment and you think as I speak in your own mind of perhaps this picture that was going on in front of them. Some of it facts, some of it we can suppose. But here you have this picture. It's first off about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and you heard me right, I said a Wednesday. Amen. Not Friday. There is no such thing as Good Friday. It's a Good Wednesday, if there is such a thing, on a Wednesday. So how can that be? Well, let's see. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday, no matter how you cut it. But you can from Wednesday to Sunday. By the way, the world and the religious world gets that concept of Good Friday because the Bible says it was the day before the Sabbath day, so they automatically assume it's the weekly Sabbath. But if you study out your Bibles in the book of Leviticus, you'll understand that every time there was a feast period, the first day of the feast period was a Sabbath day. The feast started on Thursday. That made Thursday a Sabbath day. The crucifixion took place before the Sabbath day started, before the Pentecost feast started. So therefore, we have a Sabbath day taking place before the resurrection on Thursday. He's crucified on Wednesday, and he dies about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So here's the picture. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's a lot of other facts that can prove that also, but that's for another time. But Wednesday, our Lord's given up the ghost. Now he's already cried out, "It is finished." He's already said that. He's already looked up to heaven and said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He's dead. A Roman soldier came by and stuck him in the side with a spear. A few moments later, probably saw another soldier get a ladder, go up on that ladder and take the sign down that was above his head. So what did the sign read? The sign read, "This is the King of the Jews." But wait a minute, it was a mock sign. Because in their mind, he was a mock king. This is the King of Kings, who just died on the cross when he hadn't even done anything wrong and he was sinless. This was the King of Glory. They just crucified. Yet the King of Glory had no throne, but a cross instead to be hung on. He had no crown, but a crown of thorns they put on him as a form of punishment to mock him. He had no subjects, but a jeering mob that was crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" I think they probably saw another soldier get on that ladder. I think they probably saw another soldier begin to pull the nails out at the commandment of Pilate, of course, to take him down. Pull him out of his hands and out of his feet No need for nails now. He was dead. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, I think they probably see it all as they sit there close by against the sepulcher. Imagine the tug of pain in their heart as they see the awful way that their Lord was treated, their pastor, their leader. Oh, they see what's happened. What an awful picture. There's the body of the Lord Jesus on whose breast they had laid and whose steps they had followed for all of these years now. Listening to every word he spoke and hanging on it. I think they probably saw Joseph of Arimathea come as he got the linen sheet, held it in his hands, that they might catch the body of our Lord Jesus as he starts to come down off that cross when they're pulling those nails out. I think they probably saw Nicodemus standing there, helping hold the body of Jesus so it wouldn't fall as the nails came out. His body falls as each nail comes out part by part, a little bit of it coming down at a time and another little bit, a real bloody mess, of course. But they see Jesus and his body being taken down off this cross. Joseph's sheet there, Nicodemus helping Joseph carry his body. Take it and place it in the sheet. And they gently anoint his body and place it into that sheet. I think these two Marys probably watch as his body is gently wrapped in a linen garment and placed in Joseph's tomb. They see it take place bit by bit, viewing from a distance probably, step by step, these things. They see him as he's placed into that tomb. They see the stone that's rolled in front of that tomb. Encased inside is the body of our Savior. They still watch as the government of Rome places a seal on it, and soldiers quickly come to place and a guard there and have a guard set in front of the tomb. Where's everyone else? They're gone. Peter was gone. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was gone. The rest of the 12 were gone. The beloved John was gone. But the Bible says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting over against the sepulchre. I wonder, why did they stay? Why did they hang on so long? I wonder. They were holding on for hope. I think they wanted to see what was going to happen. I think they wanted to stay all the way through. They observe this scene, and it's a much different scene from the scene of his coming. He came as a baby in the manger. That was certainly a different scene than what they've just gone through now. They've watched a bloody mess take place. They've watched a man's body that they called Lord and Savior and Pastor that was beaten beyond recognition hanging on that cross. They watched it like it's just a piece of meat is all the soldiers cared about. He was nothing to them. Just following and executing orders, probably having their enjoyment while they did it. But there's three things I want to share with you about these two ladies, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. There are things I want for my life, and there are things I hope that you'll want this morning for your life. Let me give you three things. Number one, I want to stay close to Jesus when he is hated. I want to stay close to Jesus when he is hated. Anybody can come to Lincoln Baptist Church and sing, but I love to tell the story. Anybody can. Why don't you try singing it when you're down at the job this week? Amen. Why don't you try singing it down at the job? Because anybody can come and sing at church, bless God. Some of you won't even do that. But why don't you sing it at the job or down at the store? Why don't you sing it out in public somewhere? Anybody can come to church and read the Bible, bless God. Why don't you carry it to work or school with you? Why don't you read it on your work breaks at lunchtime? Why don't you? Anybody can come to church on Wednesday night or Sunday and say, I'm always glad to say a few words about my Lord. Anybody can do that. Why don't you say that when they're cursing him down at the job? Or cursing him over someplace else where you're at and talking bad about him? Why don't you say it then, bless God? Hey, I want to stay close to Jesus even when he's hated, bless God. And you ought to want to too. Here are these two Marys. Mary Magdalene, delivered from being a possessed woman by seven devils. Everyone else is gone. Where are they? They stayed. They stayed. Right by the sepulcher, they stayed. No matter what was going on, they stayed. No matter what the scene was, they stayed. They stayed through it all, the whole bloody mess, every bit of it that was uncomfortable, they stayed. They stuck to it all the way. Why? I believe they wanted to be close to Jesus when he was being hated so much. Folks, I want to stay close to Jesus when he is being hated so much. Amen. That's what I want, bless God. I want to be close to Jesus when he's being hated. What are you going to do when they start passing laws that you can't even talk about Jesus to anybody out there? What are you going to do when the city council says our church can't knock on doors anymore and tell people about Jesus or stop them in the street and give them a gospel tract? What are you going to do then? Say, oh, that'll never happen. That might be closer than what you think. It may not happen this summer or next year, but it's not that far off. You'll be surprised. There's places in this part of in this country of ours where you have to get a permit already to be able to go door to door and talk to somebody. Have to have a permit. A permit. What are you going to do when Jesus is being hated? What are you going to do when some old grunge comes out from some apartment building like over here on East Street the other night and says that you can't come over here because he's a devil worshiper? Hey, listen, he don't own that apartment building. They asked him, they said, are you the manager? No. I live in apartment 16. That's fine. We won't knock on apartment 16. Hey, guess what? Blaze and Brother Yeager knocked that whole building. And guess what? Somebody got saved. Amen. Now, that guy mocked him and harassed him the whole way and the whole time, but fully on him. Hey, guess what? He hates Jesus. So what? Stick by Jesus even when he's hated. Amen. It may feel uncomfortable. Who cares? Stick by Jesus even when he's hated by somebody else. Amen. You stick with him. Amen. You got to remember, amen, how important it is to stick by Jesus. Oh, it is. Oh, listen, folks, there's going to be times of mockery. If you're a Bible believer and you stand for Jesus and you let it be known that you are, there'll be times when they persecute you, but you better stand for Jesus anyway. There'll be times when they hate you, but you better stand for Jesus anyway. Amen. And it's so important that we stand for Jesus. Folks, this morning, people that won't tithe, they're probably not going to stand for Jesus when he's hated down at the job site. When they won't give anything to the Lord, even at church, bless God, they're probably not going to take a stand for Jesus when somebody that's a co-worker of yours is mocking him and making fun of him and making fun of people that believe in him. Are you going to stand for him? You better. These two ladies, they stood for Jesus. They wanted to stick close to him when he was hated, amen. They were the last to leave the grave and the first to find it empty, bless God. They stuck with him even when it wasn't popular, but they stuck with him. Hey, I want to be close to Jesus when he's hated. Amen. And are you afraid to bless the food at a restaurant before you eat? Hopefully you bless it in your own home, but do you bless it at a restaurant? Because I sure don't hesitate to. Doesn't bother me a bit. Amen. And sometimes when we're praying, I pray loud. Amen. And sometimes so loud, I mean, everybody else is looking at us. Amen. Because they wonder what's going on over there. Yeah, we pray for the food when we eat, bless God. We don't eat unblessed food. We pray for it and bless it first. Amen. We're thankful for it. Too many people aren't willing to stand for Jesus. People that won't come to church when they have a temperature of 99 degrees, they're probably not going to stand for him when he's being hated. Listen, I want to be one that sits by the sepulcher and hangs on like Mary Magdalene and this other Mary did. They hung on, they hung on. It was unpleasant. It was unsightly, the things that they saw at a distance. But they held by. They knew he was going to come be laid in that sepulcher. They knew he was being brought that way. They knew what was going to take place, but they stuck by there anyway because they loved him. And they loved him so much they wanted to stick by him when he was being hated so much. So much he was being hated. Hey, number two this morning. Number two. I want to believe Jesus when nobody else believes him. I want to believe Jesus when nobody else believes him. Listen, there are others who will not believe him, but I want to believe him when nobody else believes him. Amen. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there because they believed when nobody else believed, folks. Where did everybody else go? They went home. Did they have some doubt cast on him about some of the things he said? Perhaps, but they stuck by. Perhaps so. Listen, there were those that fall apart and gave up almost and said, boy, I don't know. He said this, he said that, he said this, but now look at him. He's dead. What are we going to do? He's dead. Oh, wait a minute. They'd watched him resurrect somebody else. I guess they forgot about Lazarus. I guess they forgot about some of the other people he resurrected. I guess they forgot about some of the other miracles. They began to doubt. But these two Marys stuck close. These two Marys stuck by. These two Marys said, hey, listen, I'm going to believe him when nobody else believes him. We're here. Everybody else from our crowd's gone. But we believe what he told us. We're staying by. Nobody else was around but some soldiers guarding the tomb. Yet they hung on. What were they doing? Watching. What were they doing? Keeping track of everything that was going on around him. Why? They wanted to be close to Jesus when he was being hated, bless God. Why? They wanted to keep believing while everybody else was doubting. What type of Christian do you want to be this morning? The type that believes that there's a way out when it appears that there is no way out. Is that the type of Christian you want to be? I hope so. You have to believe God at his word. You have to believe that it's true. You have to believe that there's a way out even when it looks like there is no way out in the situation that you're in. That's where your faith and your belief in God and Christ comes in. Amen. You have to believe him when nobody else believes him. The Bible says in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, Job said. Job was going through it like hardly anybody had ever gone through it before. I mean, he was being tried like you wouldn't believe. It's a different story, different time period, but he was being tried. But Job said, I'll trust him. It don't look like he's going to bless me, but I'll trust him. It don't look like there's going to be a way out of this. I'm in misery. I've lost everything I've got. My wife turned her back on me. Lost all my kids. Lost all my cattle and livestock. Lost all my possessions. Lost everything. And now I sit in an ash heap in town. Bless God, with boils all over my body, as uncomfortable as can be to even move. But yet Job said that he trusts him. Will you trust him? Will you believe Jesus when nobody else believes him? This morning, I hope that you will. Number three this morning, let me give you a third thing about these ladies, and that's this. I want to stay close to Jesus and see the miracles. I want to stay close to Jesus and see the miracles. Hey, wait a minute. They just, you know what they're doing? They're hanging on. They want to stay close to him when he's hated. They want to stay close to him because they believe him when nobody else does. But wait a minute. They want to stay close to him because they want to see the miracle of his resurrection. He said he was going to resurrect. See, the doubt that came on him, and it's easy for us to sit and say, ah, those doubters. Oh, how could they turn their backs? And I wouldn't go as far to say they all turned their backs, but they all went home. They were filled with all types of confusion because of everything they'd seen. And believe me, if we had been there and we'd seen it, even knowing the things that we know with the whole Word of God that they didn't have access to, we might sit there in confusion as well. The pastor taken, the Savior, the one they called Lord and Master, viciously beaten, falsely accused, of course, beaten beyond recognition, punished beyond what any man should have to withstand, even if he was guilty, and crucified in a vicious way. Shut the phone off, please. Crucified in a vicious way. A vicious way. Vicious. We wouldn't sit there in the same situation and say, wow. But these ladies remembered one thing. All that brought to their eyes, probably brought them to the same kind of a state, but they said, wait a minute. He said. Now remember, he already said they're believing him when nobody else would. He said, hey, wait a minute. After 3 days and three nights, something's going to happen, bless God. So we're going to hang by this sepulcher as much as we can. Hey, they were the last ones to leave every night. They were the first ones to come every morning, bless God. Why? Because they were looking for the miracle to happen. That's why. Hey, how about you? You looking for any miracles from God to happen? They hung on so long, these ladies, because they wanted to see the miracle. Like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, I want to see the miracles of God take place. I want to see the miracles that Jesus wants to do. Amen. That's one thing about here. Bless God. You know what? Our church isn't a real big church. We've been up and down sometimes. I've been here almost 11 years. I'm hanging on to see the miracle. We're just doing what God tells us to do. Amen. We win souls. We do what he tells us to do. We go door to door, house to house. We proclaim Jesus' name. We're doing everything he tells us to do. Why? Our church's still here. Amen. Now, the devil don't like it. Amen. He's published my obituary many times, I'm sure, in his hell's news time or whatever you want to call it. Amen. I'm sure many times. Because there's some people out there that hate me. Amen. Some out there. Amen, Brother Gerald. Some just walked by this morning as we was coming from my Sunday school class next door. Amen. A lady walked by. I said hi to her. She used to go to our church. And she said, oh, Lord, it's the devil himself. She's talking about me. Amen. Brother Gerald said, what in the world did you do to her? I said, oh, she don't like me. But I was friendly. I was friendly. Let them hate. I was friendly. I'm still here. Amen. I'm still here. I'm hanging around for the miracle. Amen. I hope that you're hanging around for the miracle. Amen. God's going to do great things. Amen. For those that are faithful to do his word and to execute his word. And you keep faithful to it and you keep hanging around. Amen. Hey, you just hang around, bless God. Just hang around. Because there's always going to be doubters. There was a lot of doubters, but Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sat there by the sepulcher because they were hanging on for that miracle that was going to happen. But don't you let the doubters discourage you. Because they'll come and they'll tell you, yada, 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 da, 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 da. Whether it be about our church, whether it be about your faith in Christ, whether it be about God's word, or whatever, there's always going to be doubters. Always going to be doubters. When we first came here and started this church, there were doubters. Amen. Another pastor in this town told Brother Yeager that we wouldn't be here like a year. And the soul winning stuff doesn't work and all that. Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean soul winning doesn't work, bless God? They went soul winning not too long after they just crucified their pastor in the city called Jerusalem. Amen. And they were pretty successful. If it could work in a place like that where they just took the pastor and killed him, I think it can work in Lincoln, Nebraska, bless God. It can work, amen. So the truth of the matter is don't worry about the doubters. There'll be doubters. You stick by Jesus no matter what, amen, because there'll always be doubters that try to cast doubt. You stick with Jesus and you'll never go wrong, I promise you that. You stick by him all the way and you'll never go wrong, amen. You'll never go wrong. Now you better be ready, because in your Christian life you will face persecution if you stand for God. You will face doubters. You will face some of these things we've talked about this morning. But you stick with Jesus and stick close to him when he's hated and stick by him when nobody else believes him and stick by to see the miracles and you will see it happen. Bless God. Let's stand to our feet.